So, you've probably spent years mastering Google Ads, right? You know the interface blindfolded, you know how the algorithms think, and you know how to squeeze every single drop of ROI out of your campaigns.
Oh, yeah. It becomes second nature after a while.
Exactly. So when your boss says, "Hey, we're expanding into Microsoft advertising or, Bing ads," you log in, you take a look around, and honestly, you breathe this massive sigh of relief.
Right, because it looks almost identical.
Yeah. The naming conventions are familiar. The layout is basically the same. I mean, it feels like slipping into an old, comfortable pair of shoes.
It
But that familiar dashboard, it's actually a massive trap.
really is. It's the ultimate false sense of security.
Because beneath the hood, the engine works completely differently. If you just copy and paste your Google strategies and assume the mechanics are identical, you are going to bleed your budget in complete silence.
Yeah, I always tell people it's like sitting in the driver's seat of a rental car in a foreign country. You know, the steering wheel is round, the gas pedal is on the right, but then you pull out onto the highway and
The
realize
signs mean something completely different.
exactly. The road signs are pointing to a totally different logic system. The environment just reacts to your inputs in ways you do not expect at all.
And that is exactly why we are dedicating this deep dive to saving your performance marketing budgets. We've got a huge stack of sources today.
Yeah, tons of Microsoft advertising documentation, some really key product update blogs from 2024 and 2026.
And a highly specific technical training module on conversion tracking and performance reporting. Our mission today is to basically rip up the floorboards.
I love that. We're getting into the plumbing.
We really are. We are going to bulletproof your tracking, decode the really strict requirements of enhanced conversions, and dodge this massive dashboard trap that catches out veterans every single day.
And finally, figure out how to read Microsoft's algorithmic signals so you can actually prove your return on ad spend.
Right, so let's start right at the foundation. Because before any automated bidding strategy can actually do its job, it needs to be fed.
Yeah, the algorithm is essentially blind until you give it data. And in Microsoft advertising, that all starts with how you categorize your conversions.
Right.
The platform actually offers seven different goal types. But for anyone running performance marketing, the entire game hinges on understanding the difference between a URL goal and an event goal.
Okay, let me set the stage here for a second. So a URL goal is your classic old school macro conversion. A user lands on a specific page, like let's say it's a slash booking slash confirmed page or just a thank you page.
Right, the classic destination.
Exactly. Your base universal event tracking tag, the UET tag, is just sitting on your website. When that specific URL loads, the tag automatically fires a page load event back to Microsoft. It matches the URL pattern, and boom, a conversion is counted. It's basically like a simple tripwire sitting right at the exit door. Anyone who walks through that specific door just snaps the wire.
That's a great way to put it. But consider what happens when a user's behavior doesn't involve walking through a new door at all.
Right, which happens all the time now.
Exactly. That brings us to the event goal. This is really designed for micro conversions.
So intent signals.
Yes, intent signals that do not change the URL in the browser's address bar. We're talking about actions like, you know, added to cart, viewed hotel details, or started checkout.
Okay, so you can't rely on the page load for those.
No, you absolutely can't. You have to explicitly push a custom event to your website's data layer using JavaScript. Specifically, it's the window.uetq.push command.
Right.
Or you send a payload entirely off browser using the conversions API, which we usually just call KPI.
Okay, so sticking with the analogy, if
Yeah.
the URL goal is the tripwire at the door, the event goal is like a security camera.
I like that.
Right. It's programmed to look for a very specific physical action, like someone picking up a brochure, no matter where they happen to be standing in the room.
It is a security camera, sure, but it's an incredibly fragile one. Let me explain why.
Please do.
Web design has completely shifted over the last few years toward single-page applications, or SPAs.
Oh, right. React, Angular, all that.
Exactly. Sites built on those frameworks don't load new pages the way websites did 10 years ago. They just dynamically redraw the screen.
Okay, let's ground that in a real-world scenario.
Yeah.
Let's say you're running a hotel booking site, right? It's a gorgeous modern SPA.
Yep.
A user clicks the big Book Now button. Instead of loading a clunky new page, a beautifully designed pop-up modal just appears right there on the screen for them to enter their credit card.
Happens all the time.
They finish the checkout, the modal says thank you, but the URL in the browser address bar never actually changes. What happens to my tripwire?
Your tripwire completely fails.
Wow.
Yeah. Because the URL didn't change, the browser didn't execute a traditional navigation event, the UET tag sees absolutely nothing.
So it just misses the sale entirely.
Completely. A URL goal will record a flat zero, even though you just made a sale. You have no choice but to use an event goal there. And the reason I call it a fragile security camera is because of how unforgiving the platform is.
Unforgiving how? I mean, I know Google Ads will usually throw a warning if an event tag just stops firing.
But Microsoft handles it differently.
When you set up an event goal in the Microsoft UI, you define an event action name. Let's say you type in begin_checkout.
Okay.
If the JavaScript running on your site pushes started_checkout instead, or, you know, maybe your developer just capitalizes the B and begin the connection severs.
Just from a capital letter.
Just from a capital letter.
Correct.
But here's the worst part. It severs silently.
Oh, no.
The platform will not throw a red error flag in your face. It will not send you an urgent warning email. You will just sit there watching your budget drain, looking at active traffic while zero conversions are recorded in your dashboard.
Man, silent failures are a marketer's worst nightmare. So the string has to be a flawless, case-sensitive match?
Absolutely flawless. But let's build on this, right? Let's say we have our tracking perfectly set up. We audited the SBAs. We've got URL goals for the standard pages, perfect event goals for the pop-ups. We're feeling great.
Nice and secure.
Right. But even if your tripwires and cameras are flawless, they still rely on browser cookies.
Yes. The cookie problem.
And in a landscape where privacy blockers are just aggressively killing cookies and users are switching from their phone to their laptop mid-purchase, that perfect setup is effectively blind to a huge chunk of your audience.
That visibility gap is exactly why Microsoft rolled out enhanced conversions. They brought it broadly across the Americas and Europe in early 2024.
Right.
It is an entirely separate infrastructure designed to recover those lost signals by bypassing the fragile cookie ecosystem completely.
And this requires a really fundamental shift in how we think about tracking, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're moving from client-side tracking to server-side tracking.
Yes.
Client-side is when the user's browser sends the conversion data, which is super easily blocked by ad blockers. But server-side, using KPI, means your company's server is talking directly to Microsoft's server.
There is no browser in the middle to block the signal. You are securely matching your own first-party customer data against Microsoft's massive logged-in user graph.
And the keyword there is securely. Microsoft never actually sees the plain text, personally identifiable information of your customers, right?
Yeah, never. When a user converts, you take their email address or their phone number and you run it through a cryptographic hash function called SHA-256 before it ever leaves your server.
So the plain text is transforms into what, a 64-character string of letters and numbers?
Exactly. Microsoft hashes their own massive database of logged in Bing and Xbox users using that exact same algorithm. If your 64-character string matches their 64-character string, they instantly connect the cross-device conversion.
But the hashing process itself is a massive stumbling block. I see marketing teams hand this off to their developers and just assume it will work.
Oh, that's a huge mistake.
Right, because Microsoft requires an incredibly strict, order-sensitive canonicalization pipeline before you even encrypt the data. If you don't prep the email address exactly the way Microsoft expects, the two hashes will never match.
Yeah, that canonicalization pipeline is five really rigid steps.
Let's walk through them.
Okay, let's say you're a converting customer. Use the email john.doe+promo@example.com.
Okay, got it.
Step one, trim all the white space. Eliminate any accidental spaces at the beginning or end of the string.
Makes sense.
Step two, isolate the user portion, so everything before the at symbol, and remove all the periods. So john.doe becomes John Doe.
Okay, no dots.
Step three, strip out the alias, delete the plus promo.
Hey, that promo.
Step four, convert the entire remaining email address to lowercase. And finally, step five, apply the SHA-256 algorithm to get your lowercase hex string.
Let me just pause on that because a lot of people wonder why we have to mutate the customer's email so aggressively. Like, why not just hash the raw email they typed in?
It's a fair question.
It comes down to how email providers actually route messages.
Yeah.
Providers like Gmail completely ignore dots and aliases. john.doe@gmail.com and johndoe@gmail.com go to the exact same physical inbox.
Exactly.
But cryptographic hashing is brutally literal. If you hash those two variations without removing the dots and the uppercase letters first, SHA-256 will spit out two completely different, unrecognizable 64-character strings.
Right, and Microsoft's server won't have any idea they belong to the same person. You have to normalize the data before you encrypt it.
Absolutely.
And if you are sending this data server-side through SHA-API, there are two additional payloads you must include, or the entire effort is just wasted.
Oh, what are they?
First, you have to capture and pass the missile MPAC. That is Microsoft's click ID.
Wait, if we are passing the hashed email and Microsoft matches the user, shouldn't they already know what ad the user clicked on?
They know the user converted, sure, but without the MSL kit attached to your server payload, they cannot reliably tie that conversion back to the specific ad campaign you are running.
Oh, so you're basically telling Microsoft, hey, this person bought something, but you aren't getting the attribution credit in your campaign dashboard.
Exactly. It doesn't help your campaign optimize at all. And second, you must manage the ad storage consent field correctly.
The privacy compliance piece.
It is mandatory. You have to pass the user's consent state from your cookie banner to your server and then to Microsoft.
Okay.
If you pass a G for granted, the event is used for attribution. If you pass a D for denied, the system processes it but strictly excludes it from advertising attribution purposes.
And if your developers just hard-code a G for everyone.
And then you are flat out violating privacy compliance.
Yeah.
And if you mix up the variables, you risk artificially inflating your conversion counts by duplicating non-consented data against consented data.
Yikes. Okay, so we've executed the five-step canonicalization pipeline. We're passing the click ID and the consent state perfectly. How do we actually verify that Microsoft is receiving and processing this hash? Because a lot of Google Ads veterans will just fire up a browser extension, click around their site, and look for a green check mark.
Yeah, and a browser extension like the UET Tag Helper is entirely useless for validating enhanced conversions sent via KAPI.
Really? Entirely useless?
Entirely. The browser extension only looks at client-side tags. To validate your server-side handshake, you have to go into the Microsoft Advertising UI, navigate to your specific conversion goals detail view, and open the Conversion Diagnostics panel.
Okay, so it's a specific panel in the dashboard.
Yes. You are looking specifically for the enhanced conversions match status to show data received. If it says no data received, your CPI payload or your server-side hashing sequence is just fundamentally broken.
Okay, so let's transition from tracking to reporting.
Yeah.
Because this is where the absolute biggest shock awaits a newly migrated marketer.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Imagine the scene, right? You bypass the browser, the data is flowing securely, the diagnostics panel confirms data is received. It's Monday morning.
The best time of the week.
Right. You sit down to build your custom performance dashboard for your leadership team. You add the standard metrics, you pull in the conversions column, and you just stare at your screen in horror because the report shows a flat zero. Your tracking is perfect, your traffic is converting, but the main conversions column is completely empty. What gives?
Welcome to the 2022 deprecation trap.
I still cannot believe this is a real thing. Why does a column that literally says conversions show zero when you're actively getting conversions?
Because you are looking at a ghost.
A ghost.
Seriously. Back in 2022, Microsoft deprecated the standard conversions and all conversions columns. But instead of removing them from the interface to prevent confusion,
they just left them there.
They simply stopped populating them with data. They remain in the column selection menu, but they return literal zeros in all reports permanently.
That is insane. It's like leaving a broken altimeter on an airplane dashboard just to see if the pilot notices they are crashing.
It really is. And it catches out so many experienced marketers who just replicate their standard Google Ads reporting templates. To see your actual data, you must select the conversions qualified column.
Qualified? Why qualified?
Well, there is actually a profound technical reason why they had to create an entirely new column rather than just fixing the old one.
Okay, let's hear it.
The standard conversions column was built on standard integers. It could only count whole numbers like 1, 2, or 3. But the modern attribution landscape requires fractional counting.
Wait, fractional counting? Like recording half a conversion.
Exactly. The conversions qualified column was built using double precision floats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let's say a user clicks your paid ad on Monday on their phone. They don't buy. On Wednesday, they click an organic search link on their laptop. Still don't buy. On Friday, they click a retargeting ad and finally make the purchase.
Okay, typical messy customer journey.
Exactly. With data-driven attribution, Microsoft might decide your Monday ad deserves 0.3 conversions of credit and your Friday ad deserves 0.7.
Oh, I see.
A standard integer column physically cannot store a 0.3, a double precision float can. It also becomes totally critical when you import offline conversion data from your CRM weeks later, where credit needs to be retroactively divided up.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense technically, but it's a brutal trap if you don't know the history.
Oh, absolutely brutal.
So let's just build the ultimate bulletproof mid-level performance dashboard for Microsoft advertising.
Yeah.
What specific columns do we need to pull to prove our ROI?
Okay, you start with your volume metrics. So impressions and clicks.
Standard.
Then you need your efficiency metrics, CTR and ABGI, CPC.
Yep.
Then you drop in conversions qualified. From there, you add cost per conversion, which basically operates as your CPA, and then revenue and return on ad spend, or ROAS.
I would add one more crucial column specifically for this platform. On Google, you often look at absolute top impression share to know if you were just dominating the page. On Bing, the terminology and the layout are slightly different.
Yes, they are.
You want to pull the top impression rate percent column. This tells you the percentage of your ad impressions that are landing in the mainline placement, meaning above the organic search results,
yeah,
rather than being shoved down to the sidebar or the bottom of the page.
That is a really great call out. So now your dashboard is telling the absolute truth.
Finally.
But having accurate numbers in a dashboard is only half the battle. Now you have to evaluate what the algorithm is actually doing with that truth.
Right.
When you hand the keys over to an automated bidding strategy like Target CPA or Target ROAS, how do you know if the algorithm is actually driving the car or if it's just stuck in first gear trying to read a map?
And this brings us to the concept of the learning period. These automated bidding algorithms are incredibly powerful, but they have a strict non-negotiable diet. They require a minimum of 30 conversions over a 30-day rolling period to optimize effectively.
Yeah, and if you drop below that 30 conversion threshold, the algorithm essentially throws its hands up.
It just quits.
It stops actively optimizing. I mean, it is still spending your daily budget, but it's pattern matching blindly without enough signal density to find the right users.
So if I'm looking at my bid strategy report, how do I diagnose this? How do I know if the algorithm is silently flailing versus my campaign just having like a slow sales week due to seasonality?
You need to cross-reference two specific metrics. First, look at conversion delay.
Okay.
This metric tracks the time gap between when a user clicks your ad and when they actually trigger the conversion event. If that number is rising significantly, it means your conversions are severely lagging behind your daily spend.
That's a red flag.
A huge one. If you pair a rising conversion delay with a conversions qualified total that is hovering under 30, you are deeply stuck in a learning period.
But Microsoft recently gave us an even better tool to diagnose this, right? A new metric that rolled out in May 2026 called ABGI Target CPA. And the best way to understand this metric is to think of it as reading the algorithm's private diary.
I love that. That's a great way to frame it. The regular Target CPA column is just the goal you typed into the settings. It's what you want.
Right.
But ABGI Target CPA is the historical daily weighted average of what the algorithm actually thought it could achieve based on the data it had that day.
Right. So I also had a Target CPA of $50, but I look at the ABGI Target CPA and it's swinging wildly from $10 to $120. Day by day.
You are reading the diary of a very confused algorithm.
Exactly. It has no idea what a conversion actually costs. And if my actual cost per conversion is running more than 150% above my target, the system is completely broken.
When you see those indicators, so under 30 conversions, rising delay, and a wildly divergent ABGI target CPA, you cannot just sit there and wait for the machine to figure it out. You have to actively feed the machine.
What's the remediation plan?
Step one. Go back to what we discussed at the very beginning of this deep dive. Add micro conversion event goals.
Give it more data.
Exactly. If you are selling high ticket software and you don't have enough final purchases to hit 30 in 30 days, track intermediate steps. Track added to cart, downloaded white paper, or started checkout.
Ah, breadcrumbs.
Yes. Give the bidding model those behavioral breadcrumbs so it can build a profile of what a high intent user looks like.
Okay, step two, loosen the constraints. Sometimes the algorithm is stuck simply because the pool of eligible searchers is just too small. So broaden your match types, expand your keyword base, or even increase your daily budget cap to give the system room to breathe.
Yep. And step three, if you are still entirely starved for data, temporarily change your bid strategy to maximize conversions.
Just take the guardrails off.
Pretty much. Target CPA forces the algorithm to bid conservatively to hit your price point. Maximize Conversions removes that price constraint. It will spend your budget aggressively to generate enough volume to force you past that 30 conversion threshold.
And then once you're past it?
Once a system has learned what a converting user looks like, you can switch back to Target CPA to rein in the costs.
It is wild how much deep technical knowledge is required just to give a campaign a fighting chance today. We started by talking about the rental car trap, the dangerous assumption that because you know Google Ads, Microsoft advertising will just be a quick copy-paste job. But as we've seen, mastering this platform requires an entirely different set of operational muscles.
The terrain is entirely different. You have to understand the browser-level mechanics of why single-page applications break URL goals. You have to perfectly execute a rigid 5-step canonicalization process just to securely format an email address for enhanced conversions.
You have to know the history of the platform well enough to avoid the 2022 ghost column trap, understanding why double precision floats matter for fractional attribution. And you have to know how to read the algorithm's diary to rescue a bid strategy that is drowning in a learning period.
It really highlights a massive shift in our industry. Understanding the technical infrastructure is no longer an optional skill for a marketer. I mean, it is the prerequisite for doing the marketing in the first place.
And it leaves me with a final provocative thought for you to mull over. When you look at the sheer technical complexity we've unpacked today, setting up explicit JavaScript event listeners, formatting SHA-256 server-side payloads, configuring consent variables to avoid compliance violations, are modern performance marketers actually evolving into data pipeline engineers rather than traditional advertisers?
It's a great question.
I mean, you can write the greatest ad copy in the world, you can design the perfect landing page, but if your data pipeline is broken, the AI will simply never show your ad to the right person. The definition of being good at paid search has fundamentally changed.
Yeah, the machinery has taken over the bidding, so the marketer's job is now managing the machinery.
Take 15 minutes today. Log into your Microsoft advertising account. Audit your conversion setups. Check the diagnostics panel for those CPI payloads. And for the love of all things holy, check your Kussel dashboards to make sure you aren't using a deprecated conversions column to report to your leadership team. Know the rules of the road before you put your budget in the driver's seat.